Well, as you know, we are looking at the theme of excellence for this year. And that means that much of what I preach today, of this year, will be related to the subject of excellence. It doesn't mean that every message will be about excellence, but it means that it will occupy a large part of our time when we talk about excellence, and we'll talk about it in different areas of our life. And today I am setting off my teaching on excellence, and I'm going to talk about having a hunger and an appetite for excellence. So my title for my message is Let's Be Hungry for Excellence. Let's be hungry for excellence. The title should have included the word appetite as well, but I took the word out because it would make the title too long. I will be talking about both hunger and appetite in the message, and I will talk about the difference between the two of them and the role they play in our pursuits of life. Each one of us has experienced hunger before. There could be some of you who are hungry right now. But the hunger I want to talk about is not hunger for food, but hunger for excellence. And we would look at how we can develop that hunger and that appetite for excellence. But let's start with some definitions this morning. So what is excellence? Well, let's try and define what we mean by excellence, or to excel in our lives. I'll give you three concepts that will help us to define the word excellence. The first is when we say something is excellent, it means it is the highest or the superior quality. The highest or superior quality, or you could even say highest and superior quality. Excellent quality is always the highest. It is always the best. It is always superior. It's very, very distinctive by itself. It's the highest superior quality. Second is that excellent has to do with quality that always stands out. Quality that always stands out. Note, I didn't just say quality that stands out, but quality that always stands out, because there is a process of excellence. It is an always thing, not sometimes thing, always. Quality that always stands out. For something to be outstanding, it must stand out. So excellent quality is separated, or separates itself from the normal standards. It always stands out. Thirdly, excellence is quality that is always improving. Quality that is always improving. So excellence is not just an activity we pursue and achieve, but it is a commitment to be ever improving, constantly desiring to be better, constantly desiring to upgrade, constantly desiring to stand out. So it's a process. It's not just something you do once, get over with, and just proclaim yourself as excellent. It is something that must happen always. It's an always thing. It's ever progressing. Excellence will always help us to reach beyond the mark, and it will always deliver superior quality. So when we talk about excellence, this is what we have in mind. And throughout the year, as we use the word excellence, I want you to also have these concepts in mind. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It is one of our foundational texts for this year, for the theme that is before us. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Now, since there are a lot of women here, and you may think that excellence is only for women, for men, I will paraphrase it, including your particular gender. Do you see a woman who excels in her work? She will stand before queens. She will not stand before unknown women. Gender balance, isn't it? So everybody has got their portion in it. So it just gives us an idea of what excellence is. And there are four concepts that are embedded in that one little verse. The first thing you notice from the verse is that excellence is observable. It is observable. Do you see a man who excels? Do you see? When a person is excellent, it will be seen. There's nothing like saying, I am very excellent, but nobody sees it. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. Nobody rewards what I'm doing. I work and work and work and work. Nobody sees it. If nobody sees it, it's not excellent. If it is excellent, it will be seen. It will be seen. It is unavoidable. I described this years ago with an analogy. When we were in primary school, we used to wear khaki shorts. Khaki shorts. Now, how many of you were in that era who wore khaki shorts in primary school? Okay, most of you are now, most of you went to school when you were wearing popline. But we were wearing khaki shorts and khaki shirt. That was a school uniform. And you tucked in your khaki shirt into your khaki shorts. Now, in the school system, we had physical education called PE, physical education. And normally, when you are going to school, especially for us boys, and I think the girls also did it, you would have to go for PE before sometimes you go for your other lessons. Twice a week, you do PE. And so most boys would wear their PE underwear or PE pants as an underwear. So they probably have an underwear, and then they wear the PE pants, and then they wear the khaki. So that when it's PE time, you take off the khaki, go and PE with the PE pants, and after that, take the PE pants out and wear the khaki. Just time saving. We knew how to manage time. But, because we wore the PE pants, which normally was green in color, in some schools it was blue, but mostly green, with two stripes of white at the end, so many times for us boys, when you have worn your PE pants and your khaki shorts, the PE pants would come out beyond your khaki shorts. So in that sense, I would say the PE pants has excelled beyond the khaki. It is now seen. And when it is, when the PE pants come out, you don't need to tell anybody. Everybody will see it. And that's what excellence is. When you stand out, it is observable. It is observable. So you cannot say, I'm excelling, but nobody sees it. If you are excelling, even when you want to hide, you will be discovered. Excellence is observable. Do you see a man or a woman who excels in her work? Secondly, excellence relates to what we do. It relates to what we do. Do you see a man who excels in his work? You cannot just claim, I'm excellent, I'm excellent, I'm excellent, but have nothing to show for it. It must relate to something you are doing. There must be something you can show for it. Excellence is not a theory or a course you take in a seminar. It is something that is seen in our work. Thirdly, excellence brings us out of the unknown. It brings us out of the unknown. Look at the passage. It says, he will not stand before unknown men or women. One way to gauge whether you are excellent or not is just to ask yourself, who are the people I work before? Who are the people I perform for? Who are the people who are exposed to my work? If all the people who know about your work are unknown people, you are not excellent. It's as simple as that. That doesn't mean you don't work hard or you are not sincere. It just means that your quality is not excellence, because part of the benefit of being excellent is that you will not stand before unknown people. You will always stand before people who are also excellent, people who are at the high level. So excellence will bring you out of the unknown. And number four, excellence will raise your standard, or will raise you to the highest levels. Look at the passage again. It says, he will stand before kings. In other words, if a person is excellent, their level will change. They will stand on king level or queen level. In other words, they will stand on the platform of masters, or people who are also very, very good. It allows you to stand on a higher level of life. It will introduce you to the circle of people who are very high. So excellence is observable. It relates to what we do. It will bring us out of the unknown, and it will elevate us. There are great benefits for being excellent, because it makes your life better. It lifts you up. It brings you before great people, and so on and so forth. At any point in time, there are people looking for excellent people. At this material point, as we are talking, there are corporate organizations, corporations, industries, looking for people to pay big amounts to. There is somebody looking for somebody to employ them and pay them $100 million every year. Right now. There are people looking for somebody to pay $50 million to right now per year. I know how I look at your face. You look very dazed with these amounts. So I'm watching your face. $100 million. There are people who are being sought for to be employed, to be paid $100 million every year with stock options that will increase their earnings to about $500 million. Human beings on the same planet with you. That is why when people say life is hard, it's a very relative statement. Life is hard for you. But there are people who are earning $500 million, $1 billion every year. Every year. And people are looking for them to employ them. And the reason is because they are excellent. Excellent. There are people looking for people to employ. There are nations looking for excellent leaders. There are churches looking for excellent pastors and other church staff. There are football teams looking for excellent players and coaches. In every field of life, excellence is a very desirable quality. Everywhere. Whether in the football field, in the musical field, even in the church world, in the corporate world, in the political world, everywhere we are, people are looking for excellence. And when they find excellence, they pay excellent salaries. So if perchance you are not being paid well, may I suggest to you, to your own displeasure, that as nice as you think you are, your performance is ordinary. I'm sure you may say, Pastor, please, this is Sunday, don't insult us. I'm not insulting us. I'm just presenting the naked truth to you. Just because you think you are worth more does not mean you are worth more. People want to be paid because they've worked in a place for a long time. They've been loyal. They've been faithful. I didn't go anywhere. It's all good. But the value of a person, it's not just how long you have been in a place. It is how excellent your work is. Because when you are excellent, you don't actually go looking for a job. The job comes looking for you. Do you see a man who is excellent in his work? Scripture says, he will not stand before unknown people. Tomorrow, Monday, when you go to work, look around you and ask yourself, who knows this one? Who knows this? Who knows this? Who knows? If nobody knows anybody you are working with, go and read the Bible. Go and read Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It is a picture of you. I love you very much. Most of us want to be excellent people. Some of us even think we are excellent people, but we are not getting the benefits of excellence. So why is it so hard to be excellent? Why is it so hard? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 26. In the King James, New King James Version, which is my preferred version, it says, "The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him." But I read it in the NIV, New International Version, and I liked it, the rendering better than how the New King James renders it. So I took the liberty to copy the NIV version of it to paste. Proverbs 16, verse 26 in the NIV, "The appetite of laborers works for them, their hunger drives them on." The appetite of laborers works for them, their hunger drives them on. I have taken the liberty to underline two words in that verse. Appetite and hunger. Let's say those two words together. Number one, appetite. Appetite. And number two, hunger. Number one, appetite. And number two, hunger. Now, in the sequence of the verse, appetite comes first before hunger. But in my presentation, I would deal with hunger first, and then I would deal with appetite. So, what is hunger? The passage says that hunger drives the worker. Hunger drives the laborer. Hunger is the desire for something to meet our need. When I say I'm hungry for food, it means I am at a point where I need food for survival. I need food for survival. So when you are hungry for something, it means you need it for survival. You need it at the point and for you to survive. So hunger is a desire for something to meet our need. Hunger touches us directly. It affects us and it drives us. When a person is hungry, they work hard, all things being equal. Most people will not sit in hunger and die in hunger. When a person is hungry, they want to do something to satisfy hunger, because hunger is very painful. Painful. If you've never been hungry before, you will not understand. But hunger is very painful. So when people are hungry, they want to do something to survive, because hunger can kill you if it's not addressed. So the Bible says that hunger drives us. But the hunger I'm talking about here is not hunger for food. It can be hunger for God. It can be hunger for righteousness. It can be hunger for holiness. It can be hunger for whatever. But in our particular context, we are talking about hunger for excellence. If you want to be excellent, you must be hungry for it. You must be hungry for it. Something in you must make you wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to give out the best I've ever done in my work. There must be a hunger for excellence in you. Then the word appetite. Appetite is the capacity required to satisfy us. Appetite and hunger are not the same. One deals with need, the other deals with satisfaction or capacity. The appetite of laborers works for them, the verse says. Having appetite is also not only related to food, it is related to many things. We can have appetite for spiritual things, for God, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for applying the scriptures and studying the scriptures. We can have appetite for self-improvement, for reading, for exercising, for good clothes. People have a lot of appetite for good clothes. But in our particular case, we are dealing with hunger, appetite for excellence. Appetite for excellence. A person with an appetite, the appetite will determine how much they can take in. So how does it work? What is the difference between hunger and appetite? So let's say, you know, in the natural, I'm going to give two examples. In the natural, there are people who go about saying, I'm very hungry, very hungry. If I don't eat, I will die. If I don't eat, and yeah, truly they are very hungry. And so food is presented to them to deal with their hunger. And, you know, in Ghana, when we say food, we mean abundance of carbohydrates. You know, and the denser the carbohydrate, the better. When the carbohydrate is scattered, we don't like it. We like the carbohydrate to be dense. So whatever is food must have solid carbohydrate like fufu, like kinke, like banku, dense carbohydrate. When the carbohydrate is broken to pieces like rice, it is for dessert. What kind of food is that? It's carbohydrate, but this is junior carbohydrate. We like senior carbohydrate. So let's say the person who wants to eat, he says, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Then he's given food to eat. Maybe fufu with some light soup and some goat meat on top of there. I can see you salivating. I see you salivating. Good, nice goat meat. You smell it. And the fufu is looking very energized. But you know, as hungry as a person is, he takes one muscle of the fufu, eats a little meat, another muscle, 3, 4, 5 muscles, he's satisfied. Such a person, you say, he has hunger, but his appetite is low. Is that not how you describe him? Okay. He has hunger. He will go and get what he wants, but he doesn't have the appetite for more. So hunger just keeps you from death for survival, but appetite shows how much you can take. So let's say, second example, a lion. A lion who is hungry. Out there in the Serengeti or some of those places where lions run, they get up in the morning and the hunger makes them work together. And they go out, run after a wildebeest, gazelle, some other animal, poor zebra. The lion gets him and eats him. After the lion has eaten and been satisfied, another antelope comes walking in front of the lion. The lion doesn't move. Because when hunger has been satisfied and appetite has been satisfied, there is no drive in you to go for anything more. Are you following what I'm saying? So when we bring this analogy to excellence, when a person has hunger for excellence but low appetite for excellence, they do very little and feel satisfied, and they don't go for anything more. For us to become excellent people, we must have both hunger and appetite, or better still, a large appetite. So what happens when people have hunger without appetite? Hunger without appetite. The person works hard for what they need, but have no capacity for anything more. They are happy, they are satisfied because they've done something. Maybe a need for appreciation, a need for acceptance, a need to be clapped for, a need to feel that they are the best. And once that is done, the appetite is gone. They don't go for anything more because a need, hunger has been met. One of the challenges we have in this part of the world is that appetite for excellence is very low. Very low. And it permeates every industry. But, you know, you watch some of the industries that you know, people have, like hairdressing, beauticians. You know, I've been married to my wife for quite a while. And anybody who has been married to a woman, you know that you have to get used to they going to do their hair. It comes with the terrain. And almost every woman worth their value go around hunting for hairdressers. And in the time that I've been married to my wife, you know, years ago, she would come and say, oh, this is the best hairdresser in Accra. I found the best person. This is her salon. This is what they do. And she's bragging about this person who is a hairdresser or a beautician. And everybody goes there. This one goes there. That one goes there. That one goes there. And she brags. And every Saturday, she's going to fix her hair. And then maybe about 2 years later, she's not going there again. I say, what's happened? Oh, the standards are falling. Oh, this time you go there, they don't even do your hair well. Now she's found somebody who is now the number one. And she goes there for 1 year, 2 years, and goes. I can count the number of hairdressing aspects. How come the people are successful for 1 year and cannot maintain it for 20 years because they have hunger for excellence but no appetite for excellence? When a person has appetite, their capacity is big. And one of the challenges in a group like ours or a community like ours is the standards are so low. I'm telling you, standards are so low that with very little effort, you'll be the head. Very little effort, you be the head. And woe on you when you become the head. Because if all you wanted was, I am the number one, I am the best, then being head will be your final end. But something in you must say, I will have an appetite to be bigger, to be better. So although I am the head and there's nothing better than me, something inside me has a far bigger capacity than what the nation is demanding from me. If you don't have an appetite, a large appetite for excellence, your success will be short-lived. Your success will be short-lived. I have been preaching for about 40 years. Preaching. I know how to preach. You do it for 40 years, you would know how to do it. But I've never stood here on a Sunday without preparation. I've never stood here on a Sunday relying on something I preached last week or last 2 weeks or last 3 years or last 4 years. Rarely would you hear me preaching something I've preached before in the same format. Because every week when I start preaching, it's a brand new beginning for me. It's brand new for me. When I pick the scripture and I pray and I get a scripture and I start preparation, I tell people, I prepare more intensely now than I've ever done in my life. After 40 years of preaching, I am still very, very unsure of my future in preaching. Because I cannot come and say, oh, these people liked me last week, they will like me this week. Because these people may have been blessed by you last week, but if you bore them this week, they will leave. And go and look for another headdress. They would leave. So, every week, it's a brand new assignment. It's a new challenge. Most times, by the time I come to preach, I've done extensive study. And I'm not saying this to brag. I can take a verse that I'm going to preach on. I don't just jump on it. Sometimes I can read between 20 to 200 commentaries on one verse. So you say, how many Bible commentaries do you have? I have thousands of them. Thousands. Not two. Thousands. And I have to read them. And I have to read the language sources. And I have to read the historical context. And I have to read the cultural context. And I have to read all of that because I don't want to take a scripture and take it for granted. Do the people appreciate all that I'm doing? No. All you want is, Pastor, oh, we like it, we like it, we like it, we like it. I am the one who knows what goes into the soup. And just because people can accept anything doesn't mean give them anything. If you are committed to excellence, you don't just have a hunger for excellence, you must have an appetite for it. One of the big problems in this country, you know, sometimes you hear people call themselves celebrities. What have they done? Almost nothing. I know they mean well. I know their heart is right. They want to get to the top. But you don't get to the top by calling yourself high titles. You get to the top by working every day with capacity, never to be satisfied until you get to the place God wants you to be. If you want to be excellent, you're going to work. Not like the lion who just eats and sleeps and waits till he's hungry and hunts again. But you must develop capacity. Whichever antelope comes your way, you must run and get it. If you're going to be excellent this year, something inside you must be big. You must have both hunger and the people with hunger, no appetite, are like that. Then there are people with appetite, but no hunger. Most of those people are jokes. They want more, but they are not ready to pay the price for it. They don't work hard for it. They have desire. They talk big. All of us are familiar with that. People who talk big, they brag, but they're not ready to put in the work. They have appetite. They talk about money in large quantities, but they are not ready to work for it. They talk about achieving great significance, but they're not ready to work for it. They have appetite with no hunger. Both of these extremes will hurt us. Hunger with no appetite. appetite with no hunger. We must be both. People who have appetite and have hunger. Years ago, I saw a gentleman eating. And I have never seen anything before nor since. I'm telling you, I didn't know a human being could eat that much. I mean, this guy had his plate. And I look at the size of the plate and the food. I thought he was joking. I thought he was joking. I'm telling you, the guy had heaped. You think you've seen food? You have no idea what I saw. Heap upon heaps. And I asked him, so, can you eat all of these? Oh, Pastor. So as for this one, it's nothing. I do even more than that. I said, what? And right before my eyes, he ate that thing. Big appetite. You must have that level of appetite, not for food, but for excellence. People will look at you and say, can you achieve it? Can you get it? Can you get that quality? And as they watch you, they see you getting better and better and better. But he had it for food. I remember once I was in the U.S. and I saw another sign. So it's not a Ghanaian problem. It's everywhere. It's worldwide. I mean, this guy was eating the chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. I said, what? You know, I mean, sometimes you buy some of those things, junk food. You know, you just eat one chicken or two chicken and that's it. This guy had, I think, about three buckets. Big bucket. I'm telling you. He started. We're just talking. He just finished one. Second one. 10. 15. 20. I'm looking at him and I say, oh, by this time I'm sure, you know, he's at he ate over 40 pieces of chicken and got up as if nothing had happened. I said, what? What? A human being can eat over 40 pieces of chicken? And I think he just finished because there was nothing more. If there was more, he would have. He just finished. Three buckets. Boom, 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 boom. Finish. And got up chatting with me as if, you know, he's just, oh, yeah, Pastor, how are you? You know, and how is Ghana? I said, you can't ask me how is Ghana after eating over 40 pieces of chicken. You can't ask me how is Ghana. Something must fall on you. The power of the Holy Ghost must fall. Something must happen to show. But he just left. Lived life normally. There are people with appetite for food like that. But we need people with the same level of appetite for excellence. That when you achieve greatness, people will look at you and say, are you the one who did this? And you will walk away as if it wasn't you. You did that. You produced that work. You recorded that music. You did that. You created that artwork. Is that your work? And you work as if it's nothing. It's called appetite. You don't sit and pray to yourself and call the attention of everybody to how much you have done. Because if we're going to be excellent in what we do, we must be hungry for it, to hunt for it, but we must have appetite so we can do a lot of it. So wherever God has placed you, if you are a hairdresser, you are a carpenter, you are a dressmaker, you are a pastor, you are a banker, you are a lawyer, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. And don't ever pat yourself at the back and say, oh, I've done well. Oh, I've done well. No. I've told you many times, up to today, I can't listen to myself. Up to today. People say I preach well, but I don't listen. I can't. Because if I listen to myself, I get depressed. Because when I listen to myself, I see all the mistakes. You wouldn't see it. I know the mistakes. I hear all the mistakes. I say, why did you say that? You should have used this word first. You should have done that first. You should have explained it this way better. Your voice should have been, your tone should have been that. You know, all of that. Because something about me can't handle my yesterday. Something, I can't handle it. People may be happy with it. Sometimes I see people that say, we have your tapes of, you. We listened 20 years ago. Please don't play it. When I sit in the car, the drivers know. You can't play my tape in the car. Neither can you play my voice on the radio. Because I'll be so uneasy. Some people listen to themselves and they get excited. Yeah, Charlie, I was good, oh. Your appetite is low. Your appetite, you are easily satisfied. People pat you on the back, your head gets swollen. It can't go into any wall again. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the kingsmen and their horses, I don't know how horses fix heads, but all the kingsmen and their horses can't put Humpty Dumpty together. If you praise yourself, honor yourself, brag on yourself, promote yourself, think you are the best, may I suggest to you, you are done. Because if you're going to be excellent in life, something in you must have a great appetite. A great appetite. Let me try and wind up. Luke chapter 1, verse 51. This is part of the Magnificat of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is what she said after God had visited her and she was now going to bear the child Jesus. Luke chapter 1 verse 51. He, meaning God, has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the holy. But verse 53 is what I want to focus on. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent empty away. Two groups of people there. The rich, those who are already filled. They are so full of themselves. They feel satisfied with themselves. They are also called proud and the mighty. There are people who have this attitude. I'm the best. The Bible, the Mary says God sends the rich away empty. If you're full of yourself, there will be nothing for God to add but to send you away. The second group she talks about are the hungry, those who yearn to be filled. They see their need and they seek for more. The Apostle Paul was such a person. He says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on. David said, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul pants for you. These are people who are always empty, always hungry, no matter the height of their achievement. Constantly hungry, constantly running, constantly pursuing. And that is what we must have if we're going to be excellent people. There are some of you who eat food and you put it on Facebook. You know, people, and then they go good living. You had your food on Facebook. You think you've achieved something. Because your ancestors were very hungry people. So you ate a little chicken. And you think it's nice. You are showing that your capacity is low. Food. You buy shoe, you put it on Facebook. You buy a new dress, you WhatsApp everybody. Hey, look at me, look at me. What's wrong with your head? You are so impressed with yourself. You don't even know how far you need to go. Little things like food and clothes. The funny ones are those who sit in an airplane and, you know, selfie themselves and put it on Facebook. You're sitting on an airplane. Do you know when airplanes were invented? Huh? 1903. You have now sat in one. You're not even sitting in first class. You are sitting in economy. Selfie. Hey, look at me. Your head needs help. No wonder we are easily satisfied. No wonder we do very little and we settle under the shade of the tree for the antelopes to run around us. We're so happy with ourselves. Oh, look at me. Finally, I am sitting on a plane. How eradi. Medawasi. How eradi. Eradi. Plane. Economy. Eradi. The $100 million will do what? You must have hunger. You must have appetite. Final thoughts. So what must we have hunger and appetite for? Two things. One, this year determine to be the best that God has made you to be. Be the best. Not the best in your class, not the best in Ghana, not the best in Africa, not the best in America, not the best in the world, but the best that God wants me to be. And do you know how big that is? God is eternal. There is infinity with God. In other words, if I want to be the best God wants me to be, I would never end my quest. I will never end my quest. And not only be the best that God wants you to be, this year determined to achieve all that God has made available to you. Achieve all that God has made available to you. My desire is that you and I will be people of excellence. That we will not stand before ordinary people. We will stand on the table of kings and queens. That no matter how low you start, you will rise up and keep rising and keep rising. There will never be a place you get to in life that you say, I have arrived. And just thank God for what he has done. And I see this is the final phase of life. I don't know about you, but I'm not impressed with myself. I'm not impressed with myself. I'm grateful for what God does for me, but I'm not impressed. Nothing about me impresses me. Nothing. I'm happy for the gifts I have. I'm happy for the opportunities God gives me. I'm happy for his blessing, but never impressed. Never impressed. You may be impressed. I am not. I can go, we can have crossover and see thousands of people there. Not impressed. Just nice. But we finished this one. We have next year. What if next year the place is empty? Then I go with a picture of last year's crossover. I say, can you see? I used to be great. Oh, look at what I did. Once something is done, it's done. Once it's done, it's done. Move on, move on, move on, move on. Don't go and take pictures and hang them and just watch them. Hey, I've done. Yeah, one moment, be happy. But move on. Move on. Because God has far bigger things ahead of you. Ever improving, ever developing, ever getting better. And so I pray that this will be your year of excellence. You will be ever improving. And for some of you who have been caught down there in life, you will be brought out of obscurity. People will come looking for you. They will look for your quality because your quality will speak for itself. You will not need to advertise for a job. The job will seek for you. Opportunity will seek for you. You will not beg for opportunity. Opportunity will seek for you. May you be bathed with the spirit of excellence. It will wash your hair to your feet. May you smell excellence. Your going in and your coming out be excellent. Everywhere you go, you will shine. Because you stand out from the ordinary. Where everybody is happy, you keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. You say, when do I rest? You never rest until you die. Then you can take all the rest you want. But you keep going. May God give you appetite. Appetite. Deep appetite. Capacity. In your spirit, in your heart, within you. So that whatever you pursue, you keep going until you reach the place that God has appointed for you. And may I suggest to you something, you will never reach there. Because you will never see the fullness of God. There will always be a place to go. I speak excellence over your life, over the work of your hand, over your business, over your endeavors, over your activities, over everything you set your hand to. May the Lord prosper you. May the Lord increase you. May the Lord perfect that which concerns you. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord praise, everybody.